And we are live on Michael Angley Live for this crispy beginning to a December. What do we know so far about the political body out there in the United States of America and the world, and you, the connection between the two? We know that politicians don't represent you. They just represent ideas and agendas, right? But no real representation of you. Basically, their representation to you is taking money from your pocket to pay for what they want to do. And that's a good way of looking at it, that you pay for the show, right? It's a dinner and a show, and you're paying for it. You're paying for every bit of it. But what should you get out of that? If you're flipping the bill, truly, that if you work 2 hours and that third hour you work goes to the government, and you know that's a lot of money that you're flipping off the U.S. government to run. Yeah, sure, the government needs money to run. All governments, you know, all governments. There's no utopian, okay, you can have a system, but you can't put any money into the system to make it run. You know, people are just going to volunteer and whatever. Come on, man. So the things that you need in a system, that you need people to repair the roads, you need police officers, you need all kinds of stuff, you know? So yeah, of course, it takes some money, but not the money that these guys are collecting. You know, I mean, they take those billions upon billions and waste it. They waste it. The bad choices. And you know, there's no report card necessarily for these people that adhere to, where they're going to be punished for their bad choices. You know, it's more like election, like, you know, put one in, put one out. And then the pickings are so slim when it comes to elections. It's either one side or the other. And neither side has really everything that appeals to all people. You know, one side has some things, the other side has other things, and you have to make sacrifices between the two. You know, between what you need and your beliefs and all that other stuff, right? So it's not a choice, not a clear choice, right? But we're paying for the show, so why isn't it a clear choice? You know why? Because you have two main parties, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, and they run the show, the whole show. You're paying for it, but they run it. And you really have no, recourse in not. I mean, you have to pay for the show. Otherwise, they'll come and take your stuff away. They'll come take your car, take your house. You know, they'll take the gold fillings out of your teeth, man. They will come and take your life from you, basically. Leave you in shambles, you know. And people, oh, man, people, it's so easy for people to lose everything and become completely destroyed. I was just talking to a dude I know, right? His wife left him 9 years ago, right? And the guy hates Christmas, hates what it's all about, you know, doesn't want to date ever again. And, the woman like cheated on him and then ended up kicking him out for the dude that she ended up marrying beyond this guy, divorced him and married another guy. Hypergamy. People do it all the time. Women do it all the time, mainly. They monkey branch up to something better. Younger, better looking, more money, you know, nicer car, nicer house, more status. Do all women do that? No. Those are called the NAWALTs, acronym for not all women are like that, you know. But people have their roles in the world, male, female. And those roles have been completely distorted. And there's been an overreach from people that, it's one thing to want things. And on my Discovery Paranormal the other night, I was talking about Lilith, right? Which is basically the woman who preceded Eve as of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know, it's a brief Bible story. The Bible, the books in the Bible, tend to ignore Lilith, which makes you want to believe that it's even more for real, because they actually take the steps not to write her out, but to kind of minimize her or turn her into a character, you know, overall, or a metaphor, a reference, or whatever, you know. Anything but calling her by her name, Lilith, right? And the Jewish books, the Lilith is all over the place, you know? So that just goes to show you what's going on in the King James Version of the Bible. And also the Dead Sea Scrolls, right? So Lilith was Adam's first woman in the Garden of Eden. Lilith wanted to be on top and be more equal in the relationship. Adam didn't want that. Lilith chose to leave the Garden of Eden because she wasn't equal. And then God created Eve. You know, so Lilith was created from the dust of the earth, while Eve was created from Adam, one of Adam's ribs, right? Boom. That's the story. And it's interesting how the world works, you know, and how people view things. And the struggle of equality, you know, that you can see through every story of every text of every civilization, the struggle of equality. But in this struggle of equality, you always have a group that's under control, has people under control. They are firmly in control, right? That group wants to sell the people, the ones who are struggling, all kinds of notions on what's making them suffer, right? Rather than the people realizing the ones who are making them suffer are the ones who are controlling. But the ones who control the people have a vested interest in doing so, because they have everything. They're the people, the ones who run the machine. These guys own the machine. So they create political parties. But these political parties divide people up even more, specifically on purpose, so people kind of fight it out amongst themselves. And they never truly blame the ones who are in charge, right? And it's weird how that system works. Just like why terrorists don't kill rich people. You know why terrorists don't kill people? You know, people ask all the time, yeah, I wonder why terrorists don't kill these big CEOs, you know, go to their mansion, drag them out in broad daylight and split their wig in the middle of the street. In the name of Allah, in the name of all that's holy, in the name of all that you know, whatever, punishing the wicked and what. No, they don't do that, because they exist to punish the people who are still working everyday shrubs so they can terrorize them. They don't even have a message, these terrorists, if you notice. They don't even have an understanding of a message. Oh, if they blame it on the religion, Islam, they don't even know their own damn religion if they're going to be like that. They've never even read the Quran. I've read the Quran. I understand what it means, the things that it says. I read the Bible, too. I've read all of them. What difference does it make? They're books. I'll tell you something about people. People are people. And they could be bad, and they could be good. And good people who are good in their heart have a rough bit of it against the bad ones out there, the cutthroats, the people that are out there that are willing to cut you into pieces, push you into a wood chipper for their own gain, personal gain, their own greed and gluttony. And that's the controlling power. Right? That's the controlling power. So Lao Tzu, the Chinese philosopher, often talked about how desire will destroy you, you know? But I mean, as it comes to, if you just want a regular old life, you know, like if you think about what do people really need? What do you need? What do you need in life? Do you need 5G? You need faster internet? Faster porno? Being beamed into your telephone? I mean, what do you need? Is that a necessity? I keep wondering about how fast is how fast. As a photographer, I often have this discussion with other photographers about lenses and what's clear and how clear is too clear. You know, I do portraits for people sometimes, and you know, the Canon L lens 135 is probably the clearest lens you're gonna find. Period. End of sentence. That's it. And you could discuss all kinds of mirrorless and whatever. Don't matter, man. I'm talking about this lens and what it does. Now, if you're taking a portrait of somebody, how clear is too clear? Do you, getting the portrait taken of you, do you want me, the photographer, to take your picture and you're going to see every little dot and pore in your face, every blemish, everything that there is? Because that 135 with my 5D Mark IV is going to make you look like, wow, like it's going to show you things that your eyeballs aren't even going to see about your skin. And I don't think you're going to be very happy in your portrait as you're sitting there smiling with this pit face. So you want to be able to kind of, you know, I'm saying there's limits of technology where sometimes some things are applicable, sometimes things are not. Now, if you have a super clear lens and, you know, your camera's got a high megapixel capacity, it's great for doing portraits, like, you know, I mean, landscapes and things like that. Or, you know, if you're doing aerial photography and you want to really take those detailed images and then be able to zoom in later on and see that detail, those images, that's what's great, man. Beautiful, you know. But 5G, and it's got a wicked problem when it comes to radio waves. They're dangerous for people. And with 5G, those beams, the radio waves that come off it, get absorbed very easily by structures, whereas the 4G does not. The 5G doesn't go as far, doesn't go very far, the signal, from its tower base. Not as far as the 4G or even the 3G goes further, right? So it seems like the higher you get, you know, the less distance you get out of it, the more absorption. So then you need more towers, and more towers, you talk about more of this radiation in your life, you know. How much do you need, you know? It's kind of like a car, you're right. How fast do you need to go? I know you like to go fast, you know, but how fast do you need to go? Oh, the speed limit's 65. All right, that's how fast you need to go. You know, or you could do 70 or 75. After that, the police probably will talk to you about, you know, going fast and whatever, right? But it's nice to have the speed and the machine, but how, you know, when it comes to just basic common sense, or in this case, just a necessity, you know, when it comes to internet's probably a lot faster than people's brains can work currently, especially with computers. You know, computers can process pretty damn fast. So what do you need? I mean, are people complaining anymore? Oh, I remember the day that you have to call in the AOL, right? Dial up, man. And that was slow. Yeah, sure. You download a song. Young kids today will never understand the amount of time it took to download one song, right, through dial-up. Oh, boy. So then you got broadband. Broadband was like, done. No problem. First time I saw it, I was like, wow. I couldn't even believe it because it was like just done. And that was like the beginning of this super speed. But then you get to a point where now things are, you know, for streaming purposes and whatever, you know, pretty instantaneous. Even if you move a large file, you know, it goes pretty quickly. So how fast do you need to go? And does it outweigh the cost and also the people, you know, involved? It's like when I was driving across the country, right? You see these windmills all over the place, you know, that, you know, tens of thousands of them, they're everywhere, you know? And then it makes you, a lot of them don't even move, the ones I saw, they're kind of just sitting there. These are windy places. The Midwest is a big wind hole, windy places in general, right? So you say, okay, these things are pretty damn big. As they're moving, it must create a decent amount of electricity. I helped a friend of mine install a couple of small, very small, 600 watt wind generators, you know? So, and then, yeah, they're super small. I think maybe the blades all in all were 2 feet in diameter, you know? And then, you know, they kind of blew in the wind all the time and they created electricity, you know, a fairly regular basis, right? That the guy stored in batteries and it was win-win. So cool. I figured, okay, those big suckers must be turning, you know, if a little one can turn 600 watts, the big ones have to be able to turn, you know, probably 60,000 at least, right? Something like that. Nope, they don't. They, you know, as more, the more I learned about these wind generators, the more I learned that, wow, it costs an unbelievable amount of money to create, to ship, to install, and then they have a lot of manufacturing, you know, issues. They break a lot. You have to send crews up there to fix them. They kill a ton of birds. That's if you go to the bottom of you know, these towers, there's like thousands of dead birds piling up all over the place, which is horrible. And but I was just saying, and then to decommission them costs over $300,000 just to take it apart and get rid of it. All right. So you're talking about, you know, a couple mil per to, you know, to fix it, to put it up, do whatever, decommission it. $2 million. And they don't last that long because, you know, they're moving parts. It's out in the wind. The things, you know, the blades break and things like that. So they replace them after, not, you know, just 5, 6, 7 years, whatever. It just seems to me like per tower, how, you know, how much electricity do they really make per that $2 million? Because it seems like $2 million in electricity is a hell of a lot of electricity, you know? And I think that the idea is interesting. You know, they're kind of interesting to look at. As you're driving down the road, there's a couple of theories about, hey, they're ugly and people don't want to see them, or the people who live near them say that they're loud, or, you know, there's the whole bird thing and that, whatever, man, you know. I'm just saying there's a lot of people who do things, but I don't think they think about the cost and the longevity and what you're trying to replace. You know, is it really worth doing? You know, or are there other avenues, right? I mean, I see these solar farms popping up all over the place, which is kind of interesting because they're out in the middle of nowhere. You know, the sun's there verbatim. If it's there, it's there. If it's cloudy out, cloudy out, whatever, man. They can still function even in clouds, you know. Just decent light, but sure, these people want to put them out in the Death Valley. There's a movement to put these solar panels out in Death Valley, and they said they can power the whole country off of having these solar panels out. Well, do it. That's fine, because I'm not going to be hanging out with these solar panels out in Death Valley. You know, if the very place is called Death Valley, sure, put solar panels there. I have no problem with that, me personally. And I've driven across the desert. There's a whole lot of nothing. You look around and you're like, wow, there's a lot of nothing out here. And there's miles of nothing. You think that there's nothing, there's miles of nothing. You can drive a couple hundred miles, 300, 400, 500 miles, nothing, more of nothing. Then you see like houses by the road. They're like, who the hell lives out here, middle of nowhere? Talk about being like a recluse. I mean, you have to drive like hours between towns sometimes. You know, like it, when you're on the road like that, it's like there's places you can drive an hour, hour and a half, you know, and not be in a town. You might see a gas station in the middle of nowhere. You might have something like that, McDonald's, you know, but basically nothing. It's like pretty barren. And then there's people who live all off that beaten path. It's like, hey, man, to each his own. I kind of admire the rebels out there, the people who are freedom seekers, you know, when I was in New Mexico and going west, I was doing about, you know, speed limit's like 75, something like that. People go about 80, that type of stuff, you know. Not people who have Fords. There's a specific speed limit for Fords. You got to keep it under 50, man. There's a lane, the Ford lane. It's all on the side. It's that road off the highway, you know, called the secondary road. There's the Ford road. There's little pull-off areas for Fords, little bags of cat litter so you can soak up the oil that comes out of those things, man. But some cruising, I'm going like 85, something like that. Yeah, about 85 miles an hour, you know. And truck drivers, the whole bit. Traffic was actually kind of thickening up. And I look in my rear view, and I see this person on a Harley Davidson, like cranking, big old freaking hog. I could see it coming, man. I was like, whoa, because I'm doing 85. And I was in the left lane because I was just past someone. This person's coming up behind me, and I want to kind of get over so I can let them pass. Then they cut into the right lane, the person on the motorcycle to pass me. I was like, oh, man, driving a little dangerous there. And there's this woman with a big butt on this big Harley. Big white Harley Davidson, man, with no helmet. You know, a lot of states don't have helmet laws. So no helmet. She's out there, her blonde hair, all tied back. And she was cranking. She had to have been doing over 100 miles an hour at times because I was doing 85, 86, 87, just under 90 miles an hour. And then she passed me, like, past, like, whoosh. Then she's, like, weaving in and out of semis, you know, big tractor trailers. So, and then kind of blew past, like, as soon as we got out of that traffic, like that little zone of traffic, she was like way, way, way ahead. I'm like, oh my God. And I admired that in a way, you know, I admired that freedom that woman had, that just get on the bike and go 100 miles an hour like that, man. No helmet, whatever. I guess the helmet doesn't matter at 100 miles an hour. On whatever, as you're flirting with tractor trailers, right? But who's free like that? Who can honestly say that they can just shrug off either their responsibility or go out there and kind of just go be that person, man? Or maybe she was high on meth and she stole her boyfriend's bike or something. Whatever, man. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to that. Meth or not, there's times that you see people in their natural habitat of their level of existence, and it's freeing. It will give you a sense of freedom just to witness something like that. It was 2 months ago, and I'm still talking about it. Because I think it's cool, you know. When I see people who are trapped, especially trapped in a maze of their own design, they create their own problems, a maze of freaking problems. Donald Trump, he's really out there, you know. He always has been. The thing people like about him is that he's out there, right? And now with this election thing, especially surrounded by the people he's surrounded by, these ass-kissing sycophants who, they're not going to tell him the truth, what they think, you know. You would learn that in the book after he's not paying them anymore. That's his whole deal, that he doesn't have loyal people around him. He's got these sycophants, right? And they just, you know, they're paid, you know, they're employees, and they're not going to tell them what the truth of things are. Plus, the guy is, you know, right? I'll give it this. There's a lot of improper stuff that went on from the first time that he won the election, you know, when he became president in 2016. now we are, we have flipped the switch, and all the shenanigans that Democrats pulled, basically, now Trump is starting to pull, you know, but I don't even think he would sink down to their level. And when they say something, the Democrats, they don't have any credibility, zero, because of the games that they've played in these years, that they hated this guy. They spent millions on investigations that went nowhere. They lied through their teeth about all this stuff. You know, this one's lying, he's lying, Trump is lying, Pelosi's lying, or Schumer, all these people are lying. You got to say to yourself, really, I'm disgusted by the whole process. I'm disgusted by the lies from all these people. If their lips are moving, they're lying. So what does that mean to you? Well, you know how much money you got in the bank, right? You know, you know what you need to do for your job if you're not working. You know that you're looking for work desperately. If your funds are running out and you're expecting some kind of stimulus, you know they're playing games with that too. You got Mitch McConnell, another lifetime politician. Mitch McConnell, I throw a huge whopper of a curse on you. I curse you. Curse you. I curse you. Mitch McConnell, I want you gone. Let me tell you about this dude. Let me tell you about this. It's not just him, but I can't stand that guy. And the reason why you talk about term limits is so you don't produce people like Mitch McConnell or Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer. These guys have been in charge for many years. Presidents have come and gone. But these people have been in charge. These are the ones who are really making the rules. You know, the president's an executive. They don't do much. Do you know what an executive is? They just sign the thing. They sign off. They collect the check. They're executives. They don't do much. It's the people in the Congress, man. You know, they're the ones who are writing the laws. They're the ones who are making the big decisions that affect you every day. The money that's either going to come out of your pocket or go put back into your pocket. And it all comes down to money, because that's what they're doing. They're representing you, one, and supposedly protecting your rights. But number two, basically of staying out of your bank account. You know, more money you have, the more money you spend on yourself, your family, your community, the more your community thrives. That should be the objective of every politician, is a thriving community, people who are happy in their lives. Before the virus came along, 93% of people polled said they're happy in their life. That's pretty good. Trump couldn't have been all that bad if people were feeling that. But I love it when these Democrats say, but he drove the divide. He divided people. I'm like, he did? Who's the one fighting who all this time? Not my president. You know, resist. That started the day he won. All the dark money going for Antifa and Black Lives Matter, right? All of that, really? Wow. I just read how Black Lives Matter, they're suing each other now for money because the bigwigs who collected all the money is not sharing it with all the other little outlets out there. You know? And they're all white, by the way. The ones who are running Black Lives Matter, the people are all behind it, are all Caucasian. Well, not all of them. A good chunk of them, which I think is kind of funny. And then they always seem to die down after the election's over. You're not hearing much about them now, right? All that stuff has died down. Now everybody's all pacified, you know? Is that really the way it is? And then can't people see they're just being used? Knocked around, used and abused. used by people that don't care about you. Let me tell you, life goes on. They don't care if you live or die. They don't care about you, your family, your kids, nothing. They're going to say, oh, don't go to Thanksgiving. Don't spread the coronavirus. Yeah, go ahead. Mitigate. Be careful. But you can't stop your life. You know, people are missing out on all kinds of life moments. And they're angry about it because then they see these politicians go out and do the opposite. All of these people that had COVID-19 went out there and went to restaurants, parties, all kinds of things, right? But you're not allowed to. They'll send the police into your house because you're having dinner. They're letting criminals go. They let felons go. They have bail reform, but they will come after you for carving that turkey. That's how twisted things have become. And I'm the first person to say, you got to stop the spread, slow it down anyway, you know, so the hospitals don't become overwhelmed. There's a balance involved, right? But also, you can't not live your life, you know? And hey, man, if you've been exposed, you got to quarantine. If you have it, you have to isolate. There's things that you have to do if you encounter this bug, right? But why subject yourself to it? And also the people out there, like I was in the market earlier, you know, there's a guy with his big fat nose hanging out of his mask. The New York State rule, you have to wear a mask, you know, if you're out in public, right? Out inside, you know what I mean? But if you're outside and you're within 6 feet of people, you have to wear a mask and that type of thing. And most people do it. And it's not, you're not losing your rights by having to wear a mask. And that's what a lot of people who are very low brow have said that to me, that it's an invasion of their rights. And it's not, because it's a health issue. And it's a national health issue. It's a worldwide health issue. It's a public health issue. So your rights are well intact, because having people wear those masks ensures you of your rights, that you have a less likelihood of getting sick from somebody who has it and is willing to run around and spread it. There's the couple who got on the airplane in San Francisco to fly back to their Hawaiian home, right? And they tested positive for COVID before they got on the plane. They got on the plane anyway. They didn't care. I'm surprised they let them on the plane, since they tested at the airport right there, but they didn't care if they made other people sick. They knew that they had it, and they didn't care. So you're talking about something that's got an incubation period, 2-3 days to 5 days, all the way up to 14 days, even longer in some cases, right? Now, while you have it, you can infect people, you know? And this is a huge problem. And this is what they're saying, why this spreads so fast, you know? So young people say, I'm a millennial, I'm young, if I get it, you know, it won't even matter. A lot of young people have gotten it, were asymptomatic. So it's out of their ball field. They really didn't care, you know? But then you say, oh, but if you give it to your grandmother, they could die. A lot of these young people they laugh that off. Like, yeah, let's get rid of the older generation or whatever. I've heard the coldest, meanest statements come out of people in the past few years. And you can't tell me that was Donald Trump. But you know what it was? He was part of it, but it was the Democratic Party who drove and green-lighted that hate for such a long time. And now people are just stuck right in that groove, and I don't think they can get out of it, you know? And he's acting like a buffoon with all this stuff, man. You know, he's got to understand that he didn't win. And he needs to go out gracefully, which obviously is not going to happen. I have fears that it's going to escalate, because he's kind of, you know, taking a position and he's digging in. Like, he's not even putting out there the idea of conceding. He's saying he won. His family needs to have like an intervention. They need to go, the daughter that he's so close to, they need to talk to him. They need to set him down and say, listen, you know, this is the way it is. You can come back a couple of years, do it again, but the election's over. The states that he claims he won, even say there might have been some improper things going on, but even if you discount those ballots, you know, and you know, give them, just, you know, take them away from Biden or whatever, Trump still wouldn't have won. So, and now you had, you know, this was an unprecedented election for a lot of reasons, but mainly because of the COVID thing, right? Where people were encouraged to do the mail-in ballots. So one, you have more access. A lot of people don't vote because they don't want to go and do it, or they don't have the means to go and do it. They're older or whatever, handicapped. And there's a million reasons why people, sometimes they just don't want to do it, right? Some people think it's their civic duty, like me. They go there and they vote. Other people, not so much. So now you have a situation where they expanded the mail-in ballot program. Before, you can get a mail-in ballot, but it wasn't like everybody got them, you know. It was encouraged that you went and voted in person, right? So you do the mail-in ballot. This time around, you had many millions of more people voting because of that. And yeah, of course, you have your voting drives. People went out there against Trump, and the more Trump went out there and acted like a complete ass. I mean, I saw him at his rallies. You know, the dude is divisive. You know, he does encourage bad things to happen because he doesn't get his way. He's not a good guy. And I remember him from back in the day in New York City. You know, I grew up around this guy and his antics. You know, he was always on either Howard Stern or in the news for doing something messed up. And I remember when he had these apartment buildings that he bought around Central Park, right? And he was converting them into condos. So he bought them. He was trying to evict all the people. Some people didn't want to leave. Instead of buying them out, he shut the water off. He shut their electric off, you know, so they had no services in the winter. The people are huddling down, trying, you know, not leaving, right? Then the guy sends homeless people into the hallways to go live in the hallways of this building. Pee, poo, paid them to do it. This is Donald Trump. So when people say, oh, wow, he's a great man, I laugh. I'm a great man. When? Great men don't treat people like that. So the Democrats can stick out their chest saying that we're better than that. But they're not. They're not real. They're a bunch of, you know, this is all fake. They're all plastic. And look what's going on now. Now the green people. Oh, man, the Green New Deal. It sounds like the old Brown Deal. You know, they got pooped on because Biden is appointing all of the people that were in there before into these cabinet positions. The same people that ran this country into the ground. He's appointing all these people. And but not the Bernie people. Not the little communist people. They're kind of out in the cold. They don't know what they're going to do, as a matter of fact, because now they feel that they got screwed over because they backed him. Well, what were they going to do? They weren't going to back Trump, right? They weren't going to back him. That was their whole thing. So now they're fighting amongst themselves. The Democrats were just mad because they lost power. They were in there for 8 years, moving towards a whole global position, you know, a global integration of our country with other countries, which is what we really don't want in the United States. Other countries don't want that either. And wow, you see what's going on in Australia. Oh boy. You have Australia basically sold themselves to China. China is buying Australia. And China owns Australian politicians, right? China bought Chinese developers, we'll say. Developers in parentheses, developers. Chinese developers bought a beautiful island from Australia, off the coast of Australia, right? Bought the whole island initially. They said, oh yeah, people from Australia, they can go there. It's a, you know, resort area, the whole bit. Guess what? They bought it. They closed it off. Australians aren't even allowed there. It's their country. It's their island. But the politicians sold it to China. Now, Chinese people, let me tell you about Chinese nationals. They're like cockroaches, man. You get a couple of them, and not long at all, there's 10,000. Then you get 100,000, then there's a million, and then you're not going to get them out of your house. You're not going to get them out, no matter what you do, because it's like an infestation. And I've seen that in so many places. New York City's gone through it, you know, and as a matter of fact, just up in the Catskills, this Chinese company, developer, bought a large swath of land, and they're building a little city for Chinese only, restricted. If you're white or black or you're Spanish, you're not allowed there. It's restricted. It's a gated community for only the people that live there and work there, right? And we're allowing it. Our politicians are allowing it. We're allowing it. You know, it got stalled out because of the whole COVID thing. So Australia has a lot of problems. And just like much of the rest of the world, when you sell out to a company, a country like China, you can expect them to do everything that they can do to really inject themselves into your nation, take the land, take the jobs, take everything, because that's what they do. They want to conquer, right? That's what they do. That's what they're planning. What do you think the whole COVID thing was? Come on, man. You think it happened by accident? You know, who's it benefited? Who benefited from the COVID thing? Wow, but Trump was pushing hard against China with all his tariffs. China was looking bad throughout the world, economically weren't doing good. Ooh, the bug gets released. There it goes. Then it gets released in other countries. Economic killer. Countries shut down their whole operations, you know? Wow. Who benefited? You follow the money. So you have to look out. You know, every country has to look out for their own interests, and every country can produce and create things that other countries need. You don't need a global platform necessarily to have global trade. You know, you don't need to be intertwined globally. You just need to work with one another and reap the benefits of one another. So I believe in that. I don't believe in the whole domination thing. And, but it happens and it's happening, right? It's happening. And just like those islands that China took, right? Little islands off middle of nowhere. And there was a fight for them for a long time. Japan went out there and put a lighthouse, battery operated lighthouse, and claimed that their islands were there. Taiwan, same thing. And China, same thing. And China goes out there and starts builds an airstrip. Builds a type of a base. Oh, it's just for medical purposes. It's just we have a hospital there. You know, it's no problem. Oh, no. A couple of years later, they have a military base. They have jets. They have all kinds of ships, warships. Then they claim that whole region of the sea is theirs. Oh, South China Sea is ours. Ha! You're not allowed to traverse those seas anymore. And if we didn't stop them, everything would be blocked off in those countries. The other 13 countries or whatever that use those waterways wouldn't be able to. But this is what China does. It's what they do to their own people. It's what they do to the world. You know, it's the communist ideals, communist government. You ever notice that commercials, a lot of commercials have Chinese families in the commercials. And in the commercials, they push the female. There's a Chase Bank commercial, right, where you could tell the commercial was not shot in the U.S. And it's just not. I mean, when there's a U.S. production that looks a certain way and it feels a certain way, and the production is overseas in Europe, definitely it's different, right? But here's this woman, the breadwinner of the family, the guy's in the kitchen, Chinese man with his kids. The son has the rolling pin, and the little girl has like a little calculator in her hand, adding stuff up, like watching over the men, you know. And the father's got the apron on, and the mom is out. She goes out and she goes into her office, and all these people are looking up to her like she's Jesus, you know, listening to every word she says, because everything she says is so brilliant. And then she goes to Chase Manhattan and sits down, you know, doing her banking business and whatever without her husband, not including him at all, nothing like that, right? And then goes back to her house where the husband's in the apron, you know, whatever. I see a lot of that now. And I see a lot of commercials that also make men weak and women strong. And it's par for the course, you know, of brainwashing and programming and the message that these media outlets are trying to push. You're seeing what they want you to see. You're not learning anything from these things, are you? You're just seeing what they want you to see. Like the AT&T commercial is the one that specifically bothers me. And it's got this guy who goes in there and thinks he's all special because there's a deal, and this woman's just like running him down, just being a total jerk. And you're not special, just you're a customer, and all the customers get the same deal. You know, like the guy's like this blithering idiot, and she's like, you know, basically treating him like an idiot. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of just that, you know. And then, you know, it's funny that I hear a lot of liberals mention toxic masculinity. The last real bout of toxic masculinity I was witness to was Andrew Cuomo at a press conference when he screamed at these reporters for reporting the news. They're reporting, asking them what's going on. Because he was frustrated because he didn't know what's going on, because he's the governor. He's supposed to know what's going on. He lashed out at them. But when I see his commercials running men down or pushing a certain group higher, that bothers me. And it should bother you too, because these people are placing ideas into your mind. You know, it's a matter of brainwashing or control, things you get to see. It's very interesting to hear Trump's mouthpiece, you know, his White House mouthpiece. She was talking for him and said, was incensed that the media didn't pay attention to these violations and felonies that, you know, they plead, or I plead the media out there to listen to these things and look at these felonies and whatever. It's like, who are you praying to, the media or the Justice Department? Who prosecutes people, the media or the Justice Department? But really, who prosecutes people? It is the media, isn't it? Because if the media turns on you, you're done. You're done. They will defame you. They will take your whole life away. You know, they'll get people protesting, standing on your lawn 3 o'clock in the morning, yelling and screaming. You wouldn't even know why or have any recourse. You call 911, the police won't help you, or it's busy. Is this America? It is. It is. And I often wonder if this is what really people want, right? And it's not just here, because let me tell you, kiddies out there, if it happens here, it happens there, everywhere. If America sneezes, the rest of the world catches cold. So good luck with that. I'm going to end the show on that note. This is Michael Angley. I'm Michael Angley Live. Hope you had a lovely time. I will see you guys next week on this show on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com. 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Past Christian. Going ever forward, man. You know what? If you're not learning it here, it's probably not out there to learn. Bye.